Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this here program, and we thank you for listening to AFR each and every day. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Howdy there, Tim.
Let's see. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour, so if you like listening to lawyers... And who doesn't, right? Our own lawyer will be with us, Abraham Hamilton III, at the bottom of the hour.
And we're going to be asking Abe
about Latin and Greek and law and philosophy. What are we going to be asking?
If we're doing that, let me know. I'm going to go run to Subway, get a sandwich.
Okay. Well, what are we going to talk
about? We're going to talk to him about the news that's out. We'll touch on it ourselves, but the news is out that President Trump is going to be charged over the...
Indicted. Is that the same thing?
Yes. Well, that's a real possibility, that he's going to be charged, indicted over the possession of classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. So what we want to talk to Abe about is, how does that work? Does President Trump actually have what he's claiming, and that is carte blanche to just declassify what he wants? We're going to ask those kinds of difficult technical questions. That's what we have a lawyer for.
That are extremely interesting to talk about.
You must think they are, because we talk about this a lot.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Kind of thing.
I'm just teasing.
Is able to give the context of all that's going on.
It is a constitutional question, I guess. You know, the other thing about this is it's hard to talk much about any court case that's a grand jury situation, because the grand jury evidence doesn't have to be a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's not the standard that you have in a courtroom, for example, a grand jury indictment. So,
right.
And there's a lot of unknowns. We're not, none of us are access or privy to what the grand jury is able to have before them. But we'll talk about in general terms, maybe what Abe knows about this situation, who has the stronger position.
And the process. How does this thing work?
Yeah. Boy, we're looking at pictures and video from New York City right now. Wow. Fred, that is the smoke there from the fires from Canada. Canada are just unbelievable.
It is. I've never seen anything like this. And according to the meteorologists, this situation, we talked about this yesterday, if it's as bad as yesterday or getting worse, because they're canceling baseball games. Right now, perhaps the biggest impact on the rest of the nation is that LaGuardia Airport, there's a hold on a ground hold on traffic there, which could have an impact on air travel across the country, because LaGuardia is one of those major airports. The other thing, the health risks here are increasing. Just noting that New York hospitals are reporting an uptick in people who may be very sensitive. Maybe they have asthma conditions, et cetera, et cetera. They have what's called an air quality index. And that basically measures particles in the air that you breathe when you go outside. And it runs from about 0 to 500. 150 is really bad. But to give you an indication of just how bad things are, and we're not just talking New York City, we're talking Pennsylvania.
Right, Philadelphia.
It's getting down now to North Carolina, we understand. But there were cities in the upstate New York yesterday, they had readings of 450.
That's crazy.
These meteorologists who have been keeping an eye on weather for years and years, they say, we've never seen anything like this.
I text our good friend Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope, who lives in Buffalo. And he said it's terrible there. That's in Buffalo. I don't know. I don't know if it's as bad as it is in, let's see, he said brutal. Yeah. That's a word he used. He said not like New York City, but still a very big issue there in upstate New York or Buffalo, New York. So you have these, when, how long could this go on?
Well, they're hoping, what's happened, there's a low pressure system so that the air moves counterclockwise. So this is picking up the smoke from fires to a certain extent in Nova Scotia. There are a lot of fires in Quebec, and there that system is picking up the smoke and dumping it down into New England. What has happened is that this low pressure system has stalled. It's just parked.
Right.
And there's a high pressure system to the west that's not moving right now, but they expect this high pressure system to begin to move along in about 48 hours.
You're losing me, Fred.
And they're hoping to shove that low pressure system out to sea.
I understood it perfectly as a burgeoning climatologist. I understand. In fact, I wish you could be more technical.
Yeah,
I would appreciate it.
You know, in all seriousness, the fact that you can't escape this.
No.
And you do have people with breathing issues already, like asthma. Like if you go out to your car, okay, you got to walk outside. I don't know how much these masks help. I mean, maybe they, I'm sure they help some to filter the air, but still, you go out to your car, you turn your car on, you can't turn your air conditioner on.
Right.
Because your air conditioner is only going to recycle. Well, yeah, it's just,
It will suck air from.
It's inescapable.
I guess you could recycle it within your car.
Right, but.
But you're going to bring smoke in with you when you come. It's a bad situation.
You know, I never cease to be amazed the power of nature and the fact that it's uncontrollable by man.
By man, that's right.
It's just a volcano eruption, massive forest fires, and the wind. There's nothing anybody can do about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, but if you believe the White House and Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada...
Oh, I believe them.
Man caused this.
If we only had all bought electric vehicles, this would never have happened.
Yes.
You know, I wish that Biden and Trudeau and the left would quit using the word man-made or man-caused, because, first of all, they don't know what pronoun the environment would use if it were able to talk to us, and they go with man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I think person caused, right?
And we would still disagree with it, but it'd be less offensive.
That's what I'm saying.
I would be less triggered.
Right. Right.
If they would do that.
So are they really saying this is
yes.
Well, they say everything global warming or climate change, don't they?
Yeah, it was a dry winter in many parts of Canada.
Right.
That is true, but dry winters have happened before.
Right.
Not a lot of snowpack. But other people say one of the problems in Canada in particular is they haven't managed the forests well. And this has been talked about before. If you don't go into these forests and get rid of that dry underbrush, you're just asking for problems. And the dry underbrush has been blamed for the big fires in California
the last
couple of years. Congressman Tim Burchett says Canada is not managing its forests correctly, which leads to these catastrophic fires. Cut to.
The part of the problem is these areas don't allow controlled burns to take care of what naturally would happen the way God intended for it to do. And then all this tinder builds up. And when you have a dry spell, there's not a lot you can do because it all catches on fire. And we are, we're always trying to reinvent the environment. And then we scratch our heads and say, hey, I can't figure out why this is going this way. And dadgummit, the reason it's going that way is because we're not allowing it to take its natural course. Controlled burns naturally the way that is done. And when you don't, this is what happens.
Well, here's what's interesting. The environmentalists have stopped this culling of the underbrush. they say you shouldn't go in there and cut that down. And now, of course, you have a fire. The environmentalists are saying, oh, it's climate change.
Well, now, who was that gentleman?
That was Congressman Tim Burchett.
Wonder what part of the country he's from.
Tennessee.
I didn't notice that, dadgummit.
First of all, I would just respectfully disagree. It's not what nature does, okay? It's what man, sorry for the pronoun use, Tim. It's what man does to limit the damage of forest fires.
Yes.
Because it's not natural to go and burn it, do a controlled burn. Mm. That's the whole point, because God has given human beings the authority to kind of bring order out of the chaos of nature. But I understood what he was saying.
Right.
This is the way you would naturally handle it. So, but let me ask you this, Fred. Now, because I hardly ever listen.
I'm here too, by the way. You need any help?
To environmentalists. Okay. Either way, I'm just.
You guys
saying,
want to carry on a two-man conversation? Go ahead.
In terms of the news story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do environmentalists protest and want to stop these controlled burns because those controlled burns are bad? You know, release carbon.
Well,
dioxide into the atmosphere? Is that why they
oppose? I'll tell you a story. One of the arguments they make is about the bird life.
Oh.
You may remember, this back many years ago, they were worried about the spotted owl.
Oh.
That if you took down some of the trees, the spotted owl would be in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, if someone said, if there was a natural forest fire caused by lightning tomorrow, the spotted owl ain't hanging around.
Going up and
smoke. They're
going
to move somewhere else.
Well, now I will say this, my wife, and Tim, I'll include you in this too, but this whole idea of not wanting to do these burns to protect birds and stuff, we have a burn pile in my yard, okay, that I keep begging my wife, please let me burn it, but there are rabbits in there.
Oh.
And so she won't let me. So now I'm going to have to find someone to just haul it off, which costs a fortune.
Uh-huh. This is when animal rights activists meet environmental activists.
Yes.
And that would be a movie.
And my wife's an animal rights activist.
You know what? Well, a lot of people have a heart for animals, wildlife, that aren't necessarily animal act,
right.
PETA type folks.
She eats animals. Right. I want to make that clear.
Okay. But I mean, if they're baby rabbits in the fire.
Well, she was traumatized because this, I'm not making this up. Probably about 12 years ago, we had a burn pile and I set it on fire and a rabbit came out on fire running out of the, and she was traumatized by
You'll remember that.
I had to kill it with a shovel. Okay. It was that horrifying.
Well, I didn't need to.
And if you've never heard a rabbit scream, it was.
Are you going to stop with this? You're going to keep going with this?
Let me tell you, after.
Are you like a Stephen King story?
After
coming?
I killed it with the shovel. No.
Huh? This is going to make the real of today's issues.
Well,
that's true that I just said. And that's why she said, no, you're not burning it.
You know what? You're on track to take over more complaints about Ed than Tim on this show if you keep going here.
Yeah, you bunch of animals.
So just a layman's observation of this. I don't want to get, I can't get deep into science like you guys pretended to right there. And that is this. Canada's a big country.
Yeah.
With millions and millions and millions of acres of land that nobody inhabits.
Right.
So how, with all due respect to the congressman, again, I don't know. I understand the principle he was expressing about, the brush and all that. But listen, you can't control what I've just described. Nature's going to do what nature's going to do when you have that much, you have a dry winter, and then you have a lightning strike and you have fires. And to me, that's going to, you can do some of what you're talking about, Fred, the management, the land management, but you can't manage the globe,
right,
so to speak, with any kind of program. I'm just shocked. It looks like a bad sci-fi movie or something, or end of the world movie,
yeah,
with what the people in New York Philadelphia and parts of the north, the mid-Atlantic are experiencing right now.
If I saw videos of zombies,
right,
I would not be surprised.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Next story, Fred.
Well, Christian Broadcasting lost one of its pioneers early this morning. Pat Robertson passed away. Of course, founded the Christian Broadcasting Network, the Christian Coalition, 93 years old. And lived a long and very productive life. Ran for president back many years ago.
88.
And yes.
I voted for him in 88 in the primary.
Yep.
He lost to George Bush, George H.W. Bush.
Yes, because I was 88.
Who won the, Bush was the president from 88 to 92, right? H.W. Bush.
Yes. So, and then lost to Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, boy, he's been on TV forever.
Yes.
Talking about
700 Club.
The 700 Club.
Mm-hmm.
93 years old. Hmm?
93 years old. His wife passed away last year. She was 94. So
now, is his son still the CEO there?
I believe so, yes. And that transition took place some time ago.
What was his name? Matt? I forget. I'll look it up.
Robertson?
Yeah.
Now, Pat Robertson didn't he retire for a while off the television, off the 700 Club show, and then he came back?
That's possible.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. Anyway, a real loss there. He's credited with really kind of being one of those that really pushed along the idea of Christian talk broadcasting. And,
right, and Christian involvement in politics.
And Christian involvement in politics. When it comes to Iowa and moving the evangelical community, when he was running for president, he really focused in on that. And it's really interesting. We've done a number of stories already about how Trump, DeSantis, others, former Vice President Pence made his official announcement in Iowa yesterday. So the evangelical community in Iowa still a focus. And Pat Robertson was one of the first to really understand how important that vote is.
I don't know where I got Matt from, but Gordon Robertson and Tim Robertson. That's the one I was thinking.
Right.
I think Tim's the one who did some of the television after Pat.
Anyway, Charles Stanley passed away a few weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now Pat Robertson, these are two legendary names in Christian media.
Yes.
Both. Was Charles Stanley in his 90s? Too, or is he late 80s? Or?
I think he was in his late 80s, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. All right. Next story.
Well, today at the White House, the Associated Press is reporting that President Joe Biden has invited thousands of LGBTQ individuals to the White House.
Does he know this?
I think he's aware of it. Aware of it.
You think?
I think so. Anyway, they're going to be there. Of course, the Biden administration totally backs the agenda of the radical LGBTQ movement. And here's something interesting, going back to our first story today. They have, if there are thousands that show up, they have a lot of events that are scheduled to be outside of the White House. They may have to cancel them because of the smoke, the haze.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which I find kind of interesting.
Do you guys, I don't know if there's any way to know this, you think the average gay and lesbian person cares about all this constant push and promotion of the LGBTQ and lumped in with the trans? I don't know. I'm just asking because I just think most gay and lesbian people just sort of live their lives and don't.
Well, caring about and being active in the agenda, probably two different things. There may be a lot of them that say, "Yeah, I care. I'll vote."
Yeah, but I'm talking about being aggressive. And,
yeah, I don't. Just knowing human nature, I would guess the percentages might break.
Feel like
down
they
got to
push their lifestyle on people 24/7, things like that. I'm just.
Yeah, I don't
know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, well, I forget that. We'll move on. They're having thousands of people.
Thousands have been invited. That's what the story says. But here's the thing, too.
Now, thousands would fit on the South Lawn. Mm-hmm. We've seen events before.
Right.
Where thousands of people are on the south lawn of the White House. The part where the Marine One lands,
mm-hmm.
and you see the it's the long yard.
Go where ahead. They have the Easter egg rolled and,
yeah, and all that
yeah. kind of stuff. Here's one thing in this AP story. Biden was scheduled as part of this event to announce that the Department of Education's Civil Rights Office will appoint a new coordinator to work with schools who oppose efforts by parents to restrict what kinds of books are on the library shelves at schools, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have the details on that yet. It's supposed to be announced this afternoon. However, during the Obama years, we know that they use the purse strings of the education department that gives money to school districts across the country. If they didn't abide by the cafeteria menu of items, they weren't going to get federal funds.
Yeah.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Department of Education will say, if you take book A, B, and C that promotes a homosexual lifestyle off your shelves, we're going to cut back on the amount of federal funding your district gets. That's my speculation.
Yeah. Well, nothing would surprise me. These are ideologues, and they are determined to, well, like former President Obama said, fundamentally transform our country.
Yeah.
And they also have a tyrannical attitude. I'm just thinking about the BlackRock CEO. Are we going to talk about that later on? Or anyway, isn't he the one who said the BlackRock is that financial?
Not a band.
Yes, not a band. He said companies ought to be forced.
Yes.
Forced to mm-hmm. adopt mm-hmm. these. I think he might have been talking about ESG or DEI, whichever one he was talking about, but forced. So there's that dictatorial bent in the far left, and they're basically talking about you do it or else.
Hey, yeah, this is the group that promotes tolerance.
Right.
They're not very tolerant to anyone who opposes them.
That's correct.
Hey, related to this in a way, did you guys see where there are a lot of counties in Eastern Oregon
mm-hmm.
who want to leave Oregon and join Idaho?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The 21st county, I think, voted in favor of that last night.
I wonder if that's even possible.
It is. I've been doing a little reading on this. Now, that would have to be settled within Oregon first, and then the U.S. Congress would have to approve it. But it could be done.
Well, this will be interesting to watch, because what's happened is Eastern Oregon, I'm generalizing here, but maybe Central and Eastern Oregon, you get out of Portland and Salem and a couple of other cities in Oregon where they're very liberal. I mean, off the charts liberal. Then the rest of the people are sane.
Right.
Okay? And they're going, they're saying, we don't want to be identified or pay taxes.
Or live under the insanity.
Or live under the insanity of these far-left politicians in Portland. And so we more identify with the values of the people of Idaho.
Right.
The government of the state of Idaho, we'd rather be connected to them. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes because, well, I want to introduce an idea that related to this on a broader scale when we get back from the break. See, we have Abraham Hamilton III, our constitutional lawyer here, and I got something he doesn't even know I'm going to bring up, which is really
loves that.
Never happened before.
No, it's really unusual for me. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Congratulations to Ed Vitagliano, who's just taken over as the number one most despised host on this show. I was honored to have that position for a while, but now Ed tells his rabbit story.
That's right.
And now people are going, Ed, I can't believe you told that on the air. So
that's all right. I'll take the heat. Oh, that's well, right.
That was a bad. See, you only made it worse. That was a bad pun.
Brought that up.
Yeah, actually, you had a good moral to that story. But we need to resist the urge to retell it.
Okay. Okay. I was just.
If people want to hear your.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, if you want us, you want it to Abraham Hamilton III.
I can. I can tell it quickly.
You can go back and listen to the podcast, and here you can hear.
Yeah, because he's got nothing else to do.
You can hear Ed's Stephen King novel there that he came up with.
It was a true story, though.
It was a true story. All right, so Ed, Fred, and Tim here with American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the program. And Abraham Hamilton III is in studio with us, Abe's general counsel for us here. He's also a public policy analyst and host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on the American Family Radio Network. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to ask you a question before we get to the situation with former President Trump. We wanted to ask you what that's about. I mentioned these counties in Oregon.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and there's a lot of them, and they're getting together, and they're saying, we want to leave Oregon and become a part of Idaho. Mm-hmm. Is there precedent for something like this? Is there a process where that could be a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've covered this on the Hamilton Corner. It's actually been a multi-year effort, so this is not something that they've just decided yesterday and say, hey, tomorrow we want to join Idaho. They've filed petitions. They've had votes in the various counties at the appropriate times. And so they would have to ultimately get approval from Congress to make this adjustment. They would have to enter a process in their state legislatures to allow this to happen. But there is a mechanism for this to occur should they continue to do so.
Well, you know, it may be a mutual feeling, because the people of Oregon who are the liberals, they may say, we don't want those yahoos. It's part of our state anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Is that how West Virginia was formed?
Yeah.
They voted to separate in Congress.
From the yahoos?
No, from Virginia.
From Virginia.
West Virginia.
Did you just call Virginia yahoos too?
Well, I'm not.
Well, folks, I think we know the number one enemy of the show is now.
If they write checks to our ministry, I don't call them yahoos at all. I call them very sophisticated listeners.
Yes.
The only thing I was going to say, the challenge, I find this, and maybe you guys have different experiences, but I find that people who lean leftward on the political spectrum tend to also be totalitarians. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the incentive for the totalitarians to allow a significant portion of their tax base to just leave them just because they want to disassociate from them. But there is a legal mechanism to have this happen. Practically, will it happen? That remains to be seen.
Okay, I'm going to continue with this can of worms. I'm not going to put the lid back on. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia.
Yes.
Right? She, remember a couple months ago, she put out the idea that we may be headed for a national divorce sometime in the future. And guys, I'm not so sure 10 to 20 years from now, maybe 20, we may be in a situation where the red states and the blue states just can't get along any longer in terms of the federal government. And there may come, so I don't know what that would look like exactly. I don't know how you do or what you do with the military or Social Security or there's a lot of things that would have to be worked out. I know this sounds wild and crazy, and maybe it'll never happen. But when you say something will never happen, you have to look back in history and go all through world history, geographies and countries and governments have changed over time, right? Nothing seems to last forever. So, you know, if what I'm saying is if the contentiousness now between conservative people and maybe not traditional liberals, but the far lefties who want to control everything, including all the conservative people's and states' lives, that's I don't know. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, in a lot of ways, you have this evident, palpable ideological divide, and the tension has not risen to the place of, well, it has in some instances, but I mean, by and large, you know, overt physical hostility, but it is just clear ideological distinction as to what we believe is best for the
country. I think the physical hostility is coming.
Well, it has in some instances, but I'm talking about by and large. But if things continue, I don't see how we can continue in this fashion to remain a cohesive unit with this. But man, I
know it's I mean, it's way out there on the horizon potentially, and it does sound crazy, and I don't even know if it's possible. But I'm just saying, divisions in governments and countries and people has been a part of human history ever since our existence. So to say that could never happen.
The hesitation and reluctance you hear from me is because I don't think this could happen amicably or peaceably.
Right.
That's why I'm just.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, when you have a divorce, you have, quote, irreconcilable differences. Usually both parties are happy to see the others go because you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I go ahead.
Well, let me just say, I'll just say this as quickly as possible. In my lifetime, I do remember the hostility being ratcheted up in the late 1960s, especially the year 1968, over the Vietnam War, over the civil rights movement. You had very radical groups on the left pushing for big changes. But the distinction between that period and where we're at now is at least we were all kind of on the same page in terms of what the country was and its promise. A lot of the very violent arguments were over the Vietnam War, which was a kind of a policy distinction. To me, where we're at is more like the lead up to the Civil War. Whereas Abraham Lincoln said, we're going to have to be one thing or all another. We're going to have to either be all open to slavery or all hostile to it. You cannot have a divided America. That was his House Divided speech. You cannot have a divided America going in two completely different directions. And that's what we have now. We are at a place where we have mutually exclusive worldviews and mutually exclusive directions for the country, and that can't last by definition, because we want to go in two different directions, and you can't.
Well,
no middle ground.
Let's just take transgender sports.
Yeah,
I'm just going to use that as one example that's in the news right today. Okay, so red states, and there are a few purple states out there. There are very few of them. Red states and blue states fundamentally disagree on this. Okay. Now, within those states, there are disagreements in towns and communities. But I'm talking about California is going to say, hey, boys, come play girl sports. We're going to clap for you.
Yeah.
Now, they wouldn't describe it like that. They would say I'm misgendering.
Right.
Okay. Which is part of the insanity of the left. And that goes on in blue states because they're science deniers right there. Okay. But red states, where we live in Mississippi, for example, and what the governor of Alabama just signed over there, she said, boys are not playing girls' sports in our state. And I'm signing legislation today to ensure that, mm-hmm. Period. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, if you survey the people of Alabama, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, 90% of the people in Alabama are going to say she's right on this.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. So I'm talking, that's just one example in the news. So, But here's what's going on. The blue state ideology, the far left, they want to impose.
Yes.
Okay, they want to impose all their crazy think on red states. Okay, and people, they don't even believe in states' rights to reject those things or to set their own agendas. They want to That's why they get all upset about the Dobbs decision, which shows them for what they are. I'm talking about the lefties.
And remember, dude flew from California to D.C. to assassinate a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Because of a draft of it.
Yes. But here's my constitutional part of that, and talking about the potential for a divide in this country legally somewhere down the road between the states, and that is this. The red states would say, okay, the Dobbs decision allows for the 50 states to govern themselves, to make their own laws about how to regulate abortion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that to me, that's the way, that's the federalism. Yes. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's what conservatives have been arguing ever since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. Okay, now you contrast that with the left, who wants, they're making big issues of this. The people, the politicians in New York are saying, how dare the people of Mississippi not allow for abortion in their state? That's denying women's health. And the people in Mississippi are going, what do you care? You live in Brooklyn. What do you care about the laws that we have in our state regulating our citizens, who, by the way, vote on that? We vote to represent. We vote representatives and senators and governors who reflect the values of that state. But the blue states, basically the people who buy into their ideology, they say, no, we know what's best for you red states. How dare you do anything to stop abortion on demand or men and women's sports? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I just saw this percolate on Twitter. There was a guy who shared a photo of Dylan Mulvaney. You know, this is the dude, the Bud Light dude.
Bud Lightyear.
Bud Light.
That's what Steve Jordahl calls him.
You just bingo.
That was Steve Jordahl's joke.
Bud Lightyear. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Way to go, Steve.
Well, tell the joke again so people can use it.
This Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah.
They're calling him Bud Lightyear. So that's Buzz Lightyear. You know.
I get it.
The woke movie that Disney
put up. Wow. Oh, man. That almost distracted
all right.
me. But it didn't.
Go ahead.
My point was, a gentleman tweeted, is there any OBGYN in the whole country that will say that this is a woman? So then you had several OBs who start tweeting, yes, that's a woman. Move on, you bigot.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know, and even last night on the Hamilton Corner, I was saying this whole notion of gender being assigned at birth, that is, it may sound flowery and intellectual, but that is one of the most ridiculous assertions ever made. You are male or female at the molecular, cellular level.
Right.
There is no assignment that takes place when a child transverses from inside the womb to the outside of the womb. But it's just an absurd assertion. But to your point, Tim, there are swaths of our country that would say, well, yeah, that's perfectly accurate. And then we have much larger swaths of our country geographically that would say, no, that's not the same. So to the point that you're making, we have fundamental disagreements on core matters. But again, I cannot envision a mechanism for there being a separation that is peaceful.
Well, you'd have to have a separate country.
Yeah, I can't envision that happening peacefully.
I can't either, because you would have states. This is what the federal – and we do want to move on to this other issue President Trump. But you this is what the federal government was created to do. Remember, there was a federal type government before our Constitution.
Articles of Federation.
Articles of Confederation. Mm-hmm. But it was too weak.
Yeah,
it was too weak because you'd have states arguing over, mm-hmm. no, you can't drive your truck. You can't drive your truck from California to Texas because we're not going to let you cross Arizona.
Right.
You could have all kinds of disastrous conflicts like that, and it would just continue to tear the country to pieces.
Like we're not already being?
Well, to your point, not everything lasts forever.
Yeah,
I don't know. My belief is, if God does not send an awakening to change the hearts of the majority of people in this country, the republic is not going to last. And that's what our founders understood.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, a great example of that is what happened just recently in Utah, where you have a parent who was upset that the state legislature in Utah passed legislation that would allow parents to get books and material that they find inappropriate in the schools to have them removed. Where parents said, well, I'm going to use that law to challenge the Bible.
Yeah.
And get the Bible removed. Right. So you have a parent literally arguing that elementary school students in the second largest school district in Utah and middle school students should not be allowed to have access to the Bible in school.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, we had we didn't even know we were going to have this particular conversation, but we did tell you, Abe, before you came in, we wanted to Ed, you want to introduce this topic?
Yeah, well, Abe, there is news now that President Trump may very well be indicted.
Former president. Yeah.
May very well be indicted over his possession of classified documents, obtained in the Mar-a-Lago raid. And so our question for you is, because President Trump, through his lawyers, they're arguing that the president has broad powers to declassify. And so to me, if he's going to be arrested and charged on obstruction of justice, there has to be an actual crime that's been committed for him to obstruct. And the question becomes, is it a crime for the president to have these documents?
So the assertion is they want to indict him on obstruction charges and not on unlawful possession?
Well, I think probably documents. More than one thing, yeah.
This is interesting to me because the reports are that even that the DOJ has informed former President Trump's attorneys that they are going to indict him. It could be this week.
Right.
Could be this week, which would be interesting. And I also want to see how you're going to thread that needle of indicting former President Trump and not mm-hmm. Biden. Like, how are you going to do that?
Okay, let me ask you this, because it's easy to get into whataboutism.
Sure.
On something like this. So the whole Biden, Biden's potentially got much bigger problems.
Yes.
But a lot of it's just now coming to the public's attention. I'm mm-hmm. talking about with Biden and the Biden family and all this, the FBI and all this. But focus on mm-hmm. Trump's situation.
Let me tell you, I only mentioned that because I did not think they would try to indict Trump on this because of what happens with Biden, because the situation is so similar. That's the only reason I mentioned it.
When you have a grand jury impaneled, is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Jack Smith, special counsel here of the Justice Department, has impaneled grand jury in D.C. and in Florida. What's that? Why would you do two different things, maybe?
Well, because that's the jurisdictional location where the documents were secured was in Florida.
Okay, I got you. Well, but anyway, what I'm saying is, there's a whole lot about this we won't know, so it's kind of unfair to speculate too much, isn't it? Because we don't know what the special counsel is going to say. We don't know what Trump's lawyers, except for what they said publicly. But what made me think this is getting more serious and potentially problematic for the former president is when his lawyers go to Washington, D.C., for a meeting, they want a meeting with.
Oh, they met with the DOJ at Maine Justice.
Okay.
The FBI specifically.
Okay, why would you do that?
Yeah, from the reports that I read, they went there to complain about the DOJ star witness
gotcha.
Potentially okay. being incentivized.
With a spouse being offered
a federal judgeship.
Or yeah. discussing that.
Discussing that as a potentiality to being nominated by Mr. Biden.
Okay, so we're probably going to have to wait for another few days. We're going to have to wait for another few days for the if you indict, then the special counsel will have to lay out what the indictment's about. True.
Yeah. The indictment
for the public.
Yeah, the indictment. Unless they have some type of effort to keep it secret, I can't imagine how that would outweigh public interest in the thing. It would have to be publicized.
Does the president have the right, as far as you know, and these are areas that might have to be litigated mm-hmm. for us to figure out what the law is, but do you think the president has that kind of broad power that former President Trump has argued that he has to take documents that for anyone else would be classified and to basically say, I declassify them and I'm putting them in my trunk of my car, not literally, but
yeah,
and well, I'm taking
put,
with
put them in the room down the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
He the president does maintain broad declassification authority, but it's not total. He doesn't have complete declassification authority, but he does have broad declassification authority. He really does constitutionally.
So if that becomes the main point that's being discussed, then how can he be charged with a crime for possessing them? If he said, I declassified these, game over.
Let me ask you this question related to this. And again, listen, with President Trump, the default position for me and I think for everybody in this room is they're out to get him again.
Right.
Huh? Is that not?
Right.
After Russia, right. Russia, Russia, and we learned about that whole situation, then that was the biggest.
And I think that's a big hurdle for a lot of the American people. When you see the entire federal apparatus turned to persecute and prosecute one man,
then what happened in New York with Alvin Bragg. So, but I would just say this. It seems to me we all agree that he's been unfairly treated and they've been hounding him. By they, I mean the left and the Democrats, since he came down the
escalator,
at Trump Tower. But every case stands alone on the facts themselves. Mm-hmm. You know this as a lawyer, right? That's what you would say as a lawyer,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, related to your question there, Ed, it seems to me the idea that a president, be he a Democrat or Republican, can just take whatever documents he wants and load them up in the truck and take them to his personal residence and say, I declassify them all. I think to me that if a Democrat did that, we'd say, that's ridiculous. You could have national secrets in there. You can't just put them in the filing cabinet in the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but maybe a president can do that because the.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Because
like I said, he has broad authority, but not comprehensive authority. And then
what's the difference?
Comprehensive would mean any document, anytime, any place, whatsoever.
President Trump said he can, all he has to do is think about it. Why are you laughing? That's what he said.
That's not true.
Well, that's what
he didn't say that.
I'm saying he can't just think about it.
Well, that's what he said.
In my mind, I've declassified him, but I haven't let anybody else know.
Well, I do have a quick, because we're just about at the end of the.
Are you laughing
segment.
At President Trump saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what a grand jury might say. Is what I'm saying.
Well, apparently that's what a grand jury has said. He's indicted.
Yeah.
It's a grand jury indictment.
If Trump's lawyer says the president thought about it and he's declassified,
I don't even know what the process is. If there is a process, where the president says this is classified, I am filling out this form, my lawyer's filling out this form, and that's going to declassify it, and I'm taking it with me. Before we go, because we're just right at the end of the segment here, Abe, so what is the process if he is – as we've heard, if he's charged, is this like New York? He's going to be booked, or is this just going to go? How's this work?
Yeah, it'll be similar to New York. I don't think they're going to actually handcuff him and put him in jail or anything like that. But he will be given notice.
You can't put somebody in jail over an indictment.
Well, you can if it's an indictment for grievous enough crime. But for this one, I don't expect that to happen. But he'll be given a date to appear in court. To start the
will he be
process.
Will is he booked like in New York where they fingerprint him and all that?
Yeah, I mean he'll have the opportunity to surrender voluntarily or to fight the process with indictment, but it will be similar to New York in that sense. And regardless of the merit or lack thereof, an indictment does hurt him with the general American population because while he's trying to campaign for the presidency, he'll have yet another shroud of criminality hanging over his head.
It's going to be the summer. And potentially the fall of lawyers in courtrooms for former President Trump because he's still got the Georgia election interference case against him coming up, right? Potentially?
Yeah, potentially. Yes.
And then you've got the
January 6th.
Are they going to?
I don't know.
Jack Smith, the special counsel, is he the one looking into the former president's role in January 6th?
I believe so. But I think that is entirely separate from the Mar-a-Lago documents issue.
Yeah. That's a lot of lawyer bills right there, my friend. Huh? How much those lawyers charge an hour, hey, for President Trump?
We don't speak of these things in public.
No. Don't you think that
you don't want to know?
$1,000 an hour? Would that be fair? Something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.